Are you currently engaged in online dating and find there are quite a lot of challenges and it can take quite a lot of hard work to kind of keep in the game? Today, we're going to be talking about some of the issues that people experience early on in the dating process, like ghosting, and also like the fact that, you know, a lot of people now, there seems to be a growing tendency to cut things off very soon before maybe there's even a chance for something to develop. If you'd like to find out more about how you can improve your relationships or how to find and develop a more fulfilling relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where you can take our online course, The Relationship Maze, and you can also discover your argument style in relationships with our free online conflict style quiz. And press subscribe right now. Welcome to today's podcast, and today we're exploring some of the challenges that people are finding in online dating, and I think challenges that seem to be growing.
Yeah, so I think the most common one that I often hear described by lots of my clients is the disappointment at meeting someone, or not even meeting someone. Sometimes it might just be an exchange of messages, and it seems to be going well, there seems to be a mutual interest in each other. And then this person disappears. So they get ghosted, basically. And the pain that follows, I mean, the pain might be quite intense if you feel like, oh, there was a connection here with this person. There's this huge disappointment that they've disappeared. Or it might be quite mild. It might just be an annoyance as well. But if you have that experience again and again and again of being ghosted, it's really hard.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this seems to be something that's growing, although I saw some statistics that suggested that since the pandemic, it's got a little bit less.
Oh.
However, I'm finding more and more people who are saying they have this experience of being ghosted. And I think one of the challenges is then it becomes quite exhausting. Mm. It becomes thinking, well, you know, I mean, are you ever going to meet anybody?
Mm.
And it's those sort of initial things where you see a conversation seems to be going really well. And you think you've engaged with this person. You know, sometimes it's just obviously just messaging, but sometimes it's actually meeting up as well. You know, we've experienced people who, you know, maybe have even been in a relationship for a few weeks and then
or months,
and the other person just disappears, which is even more challenging.
It's really hard. Yeah, I mean, I think even the most hardened or the most secure person would probably be affected if they had this experience again and again. So if you've been ghosted several times in a row, then of course I think it's quite normal then to ask yourself, well, is there something wrong here with me? You know, am I doing something wrong? Is there something that these people don't like about me? Or, you know, do I go about this whole dating process in the wrong way? Is there something that I need to do differently? So, you know, I think the most secure person would ask themselves that question, I think. But if you are already of a more insecure nature, you're already more worried about what people think about you, if you already struggle with lower levels of self-esteem, then you will be affected, of course, even more so by this this array of disappearing people.
Absolutely. And, you know, it can be, as we said, very disheartening. And I think it's realizing that, you know, as well, I think with online dating is much more of a challenge.
Mm.
So it's, you know, in older ways of dating before online dating really was a thing, you know, you might meet somebody at work, you might meet someone socially, or, you know, there were sort of dating sort of agencies, I think, but I think they were less used. But you'd often meet people through other people. So there's some sort of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So already there's that sense that, you know, if you're meeting this person, they must somehow be okay, because it's like, even if it's not really true, but there's a sense that somehow they must be all right if your friend knows them or if they're working in the same workplace. So that builds that sense of connection almost immediately.
Mm.
Whereas online, you don't have that connection. It's all random. You're meeting random people where there may be nothing really that ties you together in that same sort of way. And I think, you know, that group thing is very powerful, that, you know, when we join groups, social groups, you know, suddenly that group has its own identity and those people feel that sense of connection within that group. So that's bonding is there.
Yes, although I have also worked with a number of clients who've had a similar experience with going on a date with somebody who was part of a social network and they were still ghosted. So they might have gone out with a friend of a friend and then that friend disappeared. So it happens, I think, also in situations where it's not a random stranger you've just met. I think it's become more of a phenomenon, generally speaking, that people experience.
Yeah, I think it can be. Although I think in a sort of, if it's through social networks, it's often different, because one of the big differences and why ghosting has become bigger on the internet is the anonymity.
Sure.
Is that you're hiding behind a screen.
Sure.
So, I mean, a lot of the time, and this is one of the reasons, well, one reason people ghost is that they don't have the courage or confidence to say they don't want to see the other person. And so they end up not saying anything, thinking that that's the best way forward. But actually, it can be more damaging. Whereas, you know, if it's through social networks, there's a good chance that you're going to bump into them again, or your friends know them and the other person can't get away with that same level of kind of just ignoring them, because they're going to kind of be found out. So there's that more need to say something.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, just to stay with the person who has been ghosted, it can lead, of course, to it can really up. Sorry, my voice is going. It can really open up some old wounds. If there is an old wound that you already carry around about feeling readily, you know, feeling really easily abandoned by other people, then this can, of course, sort of confirm your shame around this, your sense of shame that you are somehow not lovable or desirable by other people. So it can be incredibly painful. But I think you made an important point there also, is Tom, which is like to kind of look at the other side of the coin. What happens here with somebody who does the ghosting? Often it's, of course, it's an avoidance. You avoid a situation which you might experience as uncomfortable, because you might find it quite difficult to say to the other person, look, I'm not really that interested in you, or I don't want to pursue this relationship any further. It might be really difficult for you to do that. I mean, can you think of any other reasons why somebody would do the ghosting, you know, would be doing it?
Well, somebody who may be doing the ghosting may be very avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of attachment style, so maybe that, you know, that whole sense that initial chase may be quite exciting, but as soon as anything that seems to be coming back, that sort of detachment, which could also be in terms of a sense of power as well. I suppose there's that sense of, you know, someone can feel that they're attractive. It's, or it could be, you know, narcissistic tendencies as well, right? Kind of like, you know, seeing how many people they can have kind of trailing after them, because it makes them feel better about themselves. And not just wanting one, and wanting lots of people to kind of be pursuing them.
Yeah, there can be. I mean, you know, I've also worked with clients who have done the ghosting and felt huge shame about that, and wish they hadn't, and wish they had been able to just say to the other person, you know, to draw the line, to be assertive in a way, and to say, you know, you're a nice person, but I don't really want to start a relationship with you, something along those lines. So it's a mix. It's quite a mix. It's not necessarily always a malintent, but it can be received, it can be quite damaging as to somebody who's got not a very strong sense of self. It can be extremely damaging. And of course, it's also for the person who's at the receiving end of the ghosting, it's very disheartening. If you've had that a number of times, that experience, what can you do?
Yeah, and what does it, you know, what do you feel it says about you, or what you're left feeling it says about you? And I mean, I think people often do it as well because of emotional immaturity. It's that sort of not realizing the impact it has on the other people, which you wouldn't necessarily until you've had it yourself, maybe, or until you've seen or experienced somebody else who is very upset by this. Sometimes, you know, and I think the problem is as well that dating pool is so big. Particularly with so many dating apps. There's dating apps for everything now, I think, for every particular kind of niche you could think of. So we're left with this huge pool. And I suppose, you know, it's like in the 90s or whenever, there weren't many restaurants on the high street. So you didn't have much choice. So you just go to a restaurant and you didn't have to think, where are we going to go and eat? It's more like, there's this place or this place. And suddenly, you know, over the years, like more and more restaurants pop up and it's good to have more choice. But then if there's about 15 or 20 of each type of restaurant, suddenly it almost becomes overwhelming. And it's difficult to make a decision and you try different things, but never kind of, you know, it's very difficult to make that decision. And I think it's the same thing that we get overloaded with the choice. And too much choice can also be very challenging. It becomes difficult to deal with for many people. Is that, you know, we know that from some research as well into dating, that if somebody is trying to date loads and loads of people, or kind of because they think they need to find the right person, at some point it becomes too overwhelming, it becomes too overloading, and it's difficult to make a choice. But it seems to be better to maybe find sort of 6 or 7 people and kind of just spend, you know, get to know them a little bit and give that time. But when there is too many people, again, it's sort of, you know, again, with some people's thinking style, it's going to be very much, well, they move on to someone else and almost forget about the others.
I was just thinking as you were talking, in terms of like what actually helps here. I mean, what can you tell yourself if you've had that experience of being ghosted several times in a row? I think it might be quite helpful to remember that when you are meeting someone who you've never met or who you know very, very little of, they're not really looking at you. They're not really looking at you in all your complexity, and they don't really have an understanding or a grasp of you, who you are, in your wholeness yet. They're just seeing a picture, an image of you. So they're just projecting. You're a projection surface for each other. It's the same for you. You're not really looking at the other person. You are just imagining what they might be like as a person. So it might be quite helpful, maybe, I'm just thinking aloud here, for you to remember that in the early stages of dating and actually well into the relationship as well, there are just lots of projections going on. So the person who is rejecting you by ghosting you is not rejecting you as the whole person. They just might be rejecting an idea of you because you might not be immediately funny enough or this enough or that enough. But don't take that as a wholesale rejection of you as a whole person. It's a projection. Basically, it's a rejection of a projection surface.
Well, I think actually something like that. It's not really about you at all a lot of the time. So I think that's the thing. That old phrase, you know, if somebody was kind of speaking to you rather than ghosting, you know, that old phrase, it's not you, it's me, which sometimes sounds really crass. But I think the truth is, it is them. So, you know, like you said, it's their projection of you. So it's not they're rejecting any part about you at all. If you know, as you were saying, if it was about sort of they don't find you funny enough, they don't find you funny. It's not that you maybe aren't funny. It's them. Yeah. So I think it's remembering it's not about you. And people's behaviour says a lot more about them than it does about you. And I think that's really important to remember. But, you know, when we grow up, a lot of the time, if we've had challenging childhoods or been blamed a lot, we tend to then internalise that blame. We think it's something about us. And I think it's getting away from that and knowing that, you know, if somebody treats you badly, it says a lot more about them. And also, I think also remembering if somebody is behaving like this early on, just almost celebrate that, because you're not going to be stuck with this sort of person who might engage like this when you've been 2 or 3 years down the road. So in some ways, those challenges, if you get them out of the way early on, then hopefully you're going to start meeting people that are going to be more sort of person you want to be in a relationship with. So, you know, see those cracks at the beginning and do something about them then. And, you know, and by ghosting you, that's one of these people that you really don't want to be involved with out the way too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think to some extent it's driven by an insecurity, it's driven by an impatience as well a lot of the time. It's driven also by, very often, by a sense of immaturity, this idea that lots of people have, that you have to be immediately drawn in and attracted to the person in order for them to be a viable partner. That might be true to some extent, and, you know, there might be this immediate spark with some people. But that in and of itself doesn't really give you much information yet about whether this person is going to be a good potential partner for you or not. So if somebody's only reacting to that, if somebody's own is rejecting you or walking away from you on the basis of not having experienced that spark, then they might not be very mature yet in their thinking about relationships.
Yeah, and also remember that if they're not attracted to you, that doesn't mean you're not attractive.
Exactly.
Because we're attractive, you know, we have different, we'll find different people attractive.
Mm-hmm.
There's different elements that, you know, within all of us are attractive. So it's remembering that you can often feel like there's something about you that isn't attractive enough, or, you know, why don't you have that spark? And remember, it, like we were talking mm-hmm. about, it's more about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
They have some image of what they find attractive, but if you don't happen to be that, then, you know, that's nothing to do with you. That's to do with their internalized image of what they find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So just remembering, you know, this is about them. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, in terms of early on, it could be, is there not that instant spark? And, you know, I was reading an article on the BBC website just a couple of days ago, just talking about how over the last few years, data seem to be making decisions much more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking really quickly, because mm-hmm. it was talking about how some people dating, you know, in the past might have had two drinks with somebody before they made a decision. Mm-hmm. But now it's like maybe even just one drink, or even not even having that drink, just getting there and just saying a few words. And to me, even two drinks isn't enough.
No, of course not.
You know, obviously there has to be something where, you know, there's a sense that you like this person to some extent. There's some sort of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes it's easy to get kind of beguiled into that sense that it has to be this massive spark.
Yeah. And for lots of people, that doesn't happen immediately, does it? I mean,
no.
Lots of couples, you know, very happy couples haven't had that at the beginning. It just grew, or it developed later on.
Yeah, and that's also it's also part of that spark isn't necessarily even the other person. It could be the state that you're in. If you've had a very stressful day, you may emotionally be in a different place. Your hormones, your neurotransmitters, the chemicals in your brain may be in a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've seen that, you know, as well, sort of if two people are engaged in activity where there's excitement, like you're kind of at a roller coaster and you've just been a roller coaster and you meet somebody and you've got that excitement there, that falsely could then get connected to a spark with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when I studied psychology, there are experiments about how somebody's been doing intense exercise, they're more liable to get into certain types of arguments or kind of more confrontational perspectives because of the different kind of chemicals, hormones and everything that's going through the body or neurotransmitters.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's not relying on that initial spark. There are many things that may influence that and that can develop. I think if there's no attraction at all, then that's probably a sign that, you know, there's probably no point going on with this. But I think it's also, it's really important that people are respectful to each other. Because how would you feel, or how does the other person feel if, you know, you just get up and you turn up to the bar and you say, hi, my name's so-and-so, and they say, well, yeah, actually, I think we'll give it a miss.
It's horrible.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's really, you know, it's really horrible.
Yeah, it's so dismissive, isn't it?
And we're talking about cost of, you know, that things cost more and everything. Mm. But really, it's, you know, it's just about human decency and giving people a chance to show them who they are.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's too soon. I think you need to give it a little bit of a little bit of an opportunity to grow some, you know, to sort of discover something. Because it's also about the spark is also related to, you know, to connectivity, so to speak. You know, is there something that you can connect with in the other person that makes them really attractive to you? So do they have a great sense of humor, for example? And you think, oh, actually, I love the way that, you know, you tell your stories, etc. You might find that really attractive. So it's not always, I mean, we could have a long discussion about what is attractiveness. We should have a podcast on that as well. But it's not always instantaneous, is it, attraction?
No, and I think sometimes that over-attraction can be dangerous too, because we may start to see things that aren't really there. Mm. So we may get attracted to a particular feature, or, you know, maybe that somebody is really complimentary or really seems to engage in a certain way. And, you know, again, sometimes there's a danger that that's love bombing from somebody that's actually a narcissist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because narcissists often do come across, well, almost, I think, almost always come across as very charming.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Which, again, can be an attractive quality at first. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes just exploring and kind of giving a person a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the attraction might also be related to what in our trade we call a transference. So it's where you're transferring qualities from one person onto another person. So it might be driven by you or a part of you reminding the other person of someone else who they really liked, and that's what they find attractive. But it's just an idea. Again, it's what talked about this before. It's a form of projection. Again, it's not really looking at the person in front of you. It's just like a distorted mirror that you're looking at.
Well, we could talk in another podcast about attraction as well, because, I mean, I would argue that possibly all attraction is a projection and transference.
Yes, of course.
Because if you look at, like, paintings in galleries of what was attractive 300 or 400 years ago, you know, now you look at those kind of paintings of different people and you think, really, people found that attractive? Because it's this cultural thing that's become internalized. So I think at some sense, you know, and that's the thing, whereas, again, if somebody doesn't find you attractive, it's not that you're attractive. Mm-hmm. It's that they've internalized some sense of what is attractive that they've learned somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's really knowing that this, recognizing it's not you, it's the other person that may be kind of the root cause of this in terms of their response. Mm. Yeah, so not taking everything personally. I mean, of course, there's always things we can do to help ourselves be more attractive. And, you know, it may be like with sort of dating, obviously getting good photos, sort of maybe, you know, getting, you know, these days I think there are people, even people help people write profiles and different things. And, you know, all of these things can help. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's having that sense in yourself that it is a challenge. You know, you have to go through a lot of hard work to find to meet somebody. And you might be lucky, you know, it might be that it's the second, the third person. Mm. But a lot of the time, you know, we see more and more people where it's the 10th, the 20th or the 50th person.
Yes,
and it's challenging.
Absolutely. Because we did this podcast a while ago, I can't remember when it was, last year or the year before, with a sociologist who did her research on the topic of dating and online dating. And if I remember correctly, she said that the average person who engages in online dating takes about, I don't know, 20, 30 or even more meetings before they meet someone who they actually set out to start to develop a relationship with. So it might be, I'm sure it's more than 20, but, you know, it is work. It is a little bit of pot luck to some extent as well about who you just meet. You don't really know who you've got in front of you. But I think it's about sort of for everyone, really, it's just a reminder that it's important to just give it a bit of time first and not to rush it too much, to really give the other person a chance to get to know them a little bit better before you give up on them.
Yeah, and I think as well, having that attitude of rather than thinking I've got to meet the right person this evening, it's just going out and just thinking, I'm just going to enjoy spending this time going out. I'm just going to see what it's like meeting this person, rather than thinking this has to be the one. If it's not the right one, I'll know immediately and that's it.
Yeah, and there's no right one. There are many right ones. In the end, there isn't one person who is, that's a myth. This idea that there's just one person out there in the universe who is your soulmate is absolutely a myth. Because relationships require doing, working on, developing. They're not ready-made. So you don't find somebody who's there ready-made, ready-cooked for you, and then they, you know, they stay like that forever. You work at this, relationships develop over a period of time, and it requires some work as well. That's the sort of less romantic aspect of relationships, but that's a really crucial part of developing a lasting relationship.
Yeah. So, like you said, it's not that there is the right one, although there may be some wrong ones.
Yeah, I agree. That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, so I think the message takeaway from this is giving things some time, get to know the other person, and sometimes that attraction can develop because there can be many reasons why it might not be there initially. And again, if you find that there seems to be a lot of ghosting that's happening to you or early what seems like rejection, is remembering this says a lot more about the other person than it does about you. And always remember that, you know, you are worthy of that, that sort of having a relationship where somebody respects you and treats you with kindness, consideration, and in a loving and caring way.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better.
So please tune in again next time, and we look forward to speaking with you then.
Take good care until then. Bye.
Bye.